In this time that we live in, the Divine Mother, which is the indwelling divinity within all, is weaving together those streams of energy that will, in the future and starting now, create greater unity on the earth. The Divine Mother is the energy of unity. You could say it's the heart. She is the heart of unity. You could say she is the oneness of life. These things come up because we're meant to do that. We're meant to be part of the weaving together of streams of energy. And so as much as India is a representation of the Mother in the air, in the land, in the people, in all manifestations and levels of life, the Divine Mother is breathing life into the life of India. And those of you who have been there can feel it. So too is the Divine Mother breathing life into the life of the native peoples of this country. The life of the native peoples of this country is not the same as the energy that's coming through India, but it's related. It's related to the body of the earth, the body of the Mother, which is the earth. And so you have different levels of what unity means. If you can picture, all is trying to come together as one consciousness, one body. So the spirituality of India is trying to, and I mean the divine orchestration of this, is trying to be joined with the spirituality of the West. And we here, each of us has a part to play in how we do that. Similarly, that which has been cast aside, forgotten, and left to its own devices in ways that have been extremely damaging for large groups of people, is asking to be brought together with the rest of what's happening in terms of reunification. So out of this merging of the energy of unity and unification, I believe I was brought once again to both know about and care about what was going on in Pine Ridge Reservation, which is the place of the Lakota Sioux people. Pine Ridge Reservation is 3,500 square miles and is currently housing 40,000 people. And of those 40,000 people, most of them, perhaps all of them, are living in abject poverty. And without support from the government that should be there and is there officially, but in practice is not there. There is such a thing as a Bureau of Indian Affairs, which has been established for many years. But the Lakota do not feel that the Bureau of Indian Affairs represents them, just as the native groups in the past did not feel that the white settlers represented them or that the government represented them. And so the history of alienation of the Lakota and Pine Ridge and of other indigenous groups from the mainstream movement forward into greater prosperity and greater sharing of information, communication, and technology has not been the same for those on reservations. There is another Sioux Reservation, which is called Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation, which is nearby. Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation is actually larger than Pine Ridge, but it has a smaller number of people. And both reservations are in South Dakota. I was called by my heart and by the mystery of the soul's calling to start reconnecting with Pine Ridge. And so I started feeling a need to go there. To go there, to bring light there, to bring hope there. Literally to go there, to go there myself and with anybody else who wanted to go. I started feeling a need to go there and to help on the energy level of what energy can do to transform consciousness. It has been my experience, and some of you have heard me talk about this a great deal, that energy is transmitted through all of us because we're one body, and it's also transmitted from higher dimensions to the physical realm. So all of that is going on. But there's a special gift that we have by virtue of being in bodies. It's like the body can communicate with the body in ways that the higher realms of spirit can't fully do. They can do it, but it doesn't go down to the deepest levels of physical embodiment. So that when we travel with the consciousness of light and with the intention to be of service, we actually can do something that's greatly needed on behalf of the purposes of light. And so, as you know, those of you who have been here this fall, that Surya and Ariel were sent by me to the Texas border, the Texas-Mexico border, because I also felt in that situation that the level of darkness at the border with the issues of policy and legislation and obstruction of welcome needed to be addressed energetically. So they went and they prayed at the border recently. This was early December. And now I feel that I and we are being called to unite ourselves with those who are dispossessed. I was looking at the internet and learning more about Pine Ridge and feeling that I had to go there. And in the process of that, I made a discovery, which was that I was being called not to Pine Ridge, but to the sacred sites of the Lakota. And that I was being called to bring my presence to the sacred sites in South Dakota for a similar reason, that literally to embody light and to be on the sacred sites, wherever that will be, and to be there. Somewhere very shortly after, I felt this knowing inside myself. I received a visit from the Lakota elders in spirit. So I was at a meeting with a few people, and the Lakota elders came to me asking for help. And my response on a soul level was immediate. "How can I help you?" I said, "Grandfather." Now, my calling the elders grandfather is not a usual thing, but on the soul level, I spoke the language that was needed. And so I said, "How can I help you, grandfather?" And so they said to me, this was a group of people that had also a chief amongst them. There were the elders of the tribe departed, and then there was a chieftain also. I don't know whether it was Chief Arvel Looking Horse, who is the head currently of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nation, or whether it was another chief, but they said to me in one voice, "Carry us with you. We need you to carry us with you. We are the dispossessed, the disenfranchised, and the forgotten ones. Carry us with you." So I had a little discussion with them in spirit about what that meant, because I had no idea what that meant to carry them with us. I understood immediately that it was not just me, but it was about Light Omega, and that the elders were saying, in your movement forward, in uniting the energies of the Divine Mother, in your movement forward, carry us with you. Let us not be left out. Carry us with you. That was it. So it was more a consciousness that was being asked for, that we not forget that those who are there are part of us and part of the Divine Mother's mission to unite all in the energetic and spiritual levels. So at that moment, when the elder spoke to me and the chief, I'll just say Arvel Looking Horse because I think he is the one who has brought to my consciousness the meaning of the sacred sites. I knew that I was going to the sacred sites in South Dakota. I don't know which one yet, but I knew that I was going. Since then, I have become aware that when we talk about sacred sites of the Lakota or any other nation, we can hold it at various levels. And as you know from your own experience, a single thing can have various levels of meaning. So it doesn't have to be one thing. For instance, a sacred site could be the place of burial of ancestors of a particular tribe. And it could also be the place where planes of energy come together. That same site, which is a burial site, can be a holy place where the energy of physical matter, which is the earth, joins with the energy of the higher realms of spirit. And so, the sacred sites are energy vortexes on the earth that are joining matter and spirit. And Chief Arva Looking Horse is an advocate, more than an advocate, he's a messenger, a tireless messenger who has been traveling around the world trying to convey to people the importance of the sacred sites. Until just recently, I didn't know all the layers that the sacred sites involved, but he is saying, people, wake up to the fact that unless we take care of the sacred sites, the earth's energy body can't be replenished. That the energy vortices that are in the sacred sites are taking care of the earth. And the travesties that have been committed by people, either using them for other secular activities or more recently involving mining projects and the sacred sites, that's directly harming the energy body of the earth, directly preventing healing from taking place. So when he is doing this worldwide tour that he's been doing for years now, he's trying to awaken people to the meaning of sacred sites as well as to the impoverishment and need for involvement with the native peoples. I tell you this so you can respond to it on whatever level your heart responds to it. Mita has prepared here a list, and you can pass this around, a list of videos that she's found that depict the particulars of the abject, terrible, disheartening, hopeless, despairing conditions that people are living in. These videos and articles are ones that she's found that you might wish to check out. Especially if you're going to be traveling with me to South Dakota, you might wish to check that out, because you'd want to know something of the history and background. The suicide rate among teenagers in the Pine Ridge Reservation is between, I'm just giving you a number that I don't remember, 4 times and 10 times that of the national average of suicide rate, because hopelessness is so prevalent. The life expectancy of men in Pine Ridge is under 60 years old. The life expectancy of women is just over 60, might be 66 is what I read. This is an anomaly that has horror in it, horror that we as a country of such wealth could be allowing energies of indifference to occur on both governmental and personal levels, that this could be going on and on and on and on and on over decades and decades and decades of turning away from an honoring of the humanity of this whole group of people. Those who are on the reservation and those in general of the native groups will speak very clearly about how treaties have been abandoned. They will speak very clearly about how the government of the U.S. professed to make reparations, to honor the land, and so on, and it didn't turn out to be the case. This is one of the dark sides of this country, the United States of America, where, you know, just in terms of our history, we can profess one thing and do something that's completely different. We can articulate principles that are in the light and act out of darkness. And our history is that. So indifference to the plight of others is an energy. Our hearts connected with our souls are not indifferent. We are not by nature indifferent. We are not, because we are created by God. And so created by God means that we are connected internally innately with the oneness of life. Our outer self may not feel that. We may feel other things. But our inner being knows that you are my other self, knows that. Doesn't have to have a discussion about it. It knows that. So the fact that an energy of indifference could have been active in such a profound way for so many decades is something that needs to be addressed on multiple levels. The one that I'm involved with is on the level of energy, energy to bring consciousness and hope to that which has gone into the land. You see, where these travesties have taken place, such as the massacres that have taken place, that is all in the earth. So I don't know where I'm going to be sent, but wherever I'm sent, it's to repair the damage to the earth, because the earth has suffered, not just the people who have died, but the earth has suffered from these travesties on the sacred sites and on the land too. What this tells us today is important, and what we can learn about the way light and darkness operate as energies is important, because we still mainstream now, how I'm speaking what most people know, we tend to think of light and darkness like we think of happy and sad. It's not like that. The energy that we're calling darkness, which is oppositional to light, is an energy that takes a person out of their heart. Simply to say, a person cannot feel their heart, so they can't feel their feelings, so they can't feel their caring. So indifference, as well as committing harm in a more direct way, is a result of an energy that's removing a person from the feeling of their own humanity, which is innate to feel that, and from the humanity of others. And then we have what we have. Then we have prejudice coming in, which says, because if you don't feel it, and you have a basic kind of fear response to those beings who look different from you, who act different, who have a different culture, then fear takes over, and your humanity, which is your heart's connection with your soul, you don't feel it, so you can't do anything in the presence of fear. And in that combination, what happens is you say, those people are other, let them take care of themselves, which is what's happened. Let them take care of themselves because they're not like us. And this is the history of this country, built on the highest principles of light and acting out the legacy of energies of darkness from the very beginning, of treating people as if they were less than human. But it's still going on today, and we need to hold this in our consciousness. And I those words carry us with you. They're for you. They're for you all to carry the people who are being forgotten in your consciousness. So I'm going to pause here. Mita, do you want to say something about what you've...
These are just... I think before I went to Standing Rock, some of these came to me. And somehow, there's so much more out there, but in terms of videos and articles, but these were just some that touched me deeply.
Thank you.
The history of human consciousness is not just about the indigenous peoples, it's about the physical body. We have to have a measure of compassion for ourselves and for all people. That by virtue of having a physical body, we lost the innate spiritual connection with the sense of unity because we perceived through our physical senses other beings as separate from ourselves, because we defined reality in terms of physical reality. That's the history of human consciousness. And which arose out of the way the brain is constructed, and the fact that bodies appear to be existing in time and space, where in reality time and space doesn't exist separate from the oneness, but it looks like it does. That's the foundation from which everything else arises. If people are separate from each other, if we are separate from the reason, or in our consciousness, separate from the reason that we're here, we don't know the reason we're here, then we become afraid. We become afraid and don't know how to take care of ourselves. And in the presence of not knowing how to take care of ourselves, we project onto other people danger. These people are dangerous because we don't know how they operate. They look different. They act different. They have different ideas. So we affirm our own humanity, and a large part of the devaluing of the other is based on the fear, which is based on differentness, which in turn is based on that physicality being defined as the only reality. If we hadn't subscribed to experiencing duality, this wouldn't be the case, but all of us who entered the Earth's evolutionary cycle agreed to do this. We agreed to take on bodies, and as a result, we agreed to experience the joys and the not so much joy of physical embodiment. We agreed to do this. There's nobody who was forced to become embodied. So that's the story of how this happens, is that it's possible out of a state of perceived separation to then allow fear to become a primary response and to engage fear with the presence of differentness. That's the beginning of how it works. And then whatever other tendencies in us, such as greed, such as insecurity, which breeds then a sense of competition, to want to have more at the expense of others, those things can take over, but the primary level of that is about fear. Fear that there's not going to be enough, so I need to have more and make sure I have more, and that it doesn't matter so much. Everybody needs to take care of themselves. That's our history. And this is the time for reclaiming. But particularly, I say reclaiming whatever we're feeling indifferent about is what needs to be reclaimed. Whatever we're feeling it doesn't matter needs to be reclaimed. Whether it's an individual, it doesn't matter. An individual, it doesn't matter. I don't have to respond. Or whether it's on a collective level. I think I mentioned this at another gathering. I know that I did. That I developed a habit a while back, I'm not sure when, out of my consciousness that everything matters and that nothing is brought into my field of awareness that isn't meant to interact with me. It's a consciousness of relationship. I perceive myself to be in relationship with everything all of the time. That doesn't mean I know everything that's going on in the world, but if something's brought to my consciousness, I feel that it's the universe extending itself for me to reciprocate. And so in relation to, and I think I've said this to some of you before, when somebody passes on out of the physical body, I feel a response coming forth from me that it's not just a fact somebody died. No, that person is being brought into my energy field and consciousness. And so I'm offering a prayer for them. It doesn't matter if I know them or not. They were brought to me as a soul that may need some assistance. I offer whatever I can of assistance. And you can do that too. You have the choice of not being indifferent, is what I'm saying. And you have the choice of allowing whatever is on a low flame in you, you know, like what particular group or location, or, you know, we have particular groups of people or situations that we care more deeply about because of our soul's resonance and our soul's history, which is usually that we've been in that group before in another lifetime. So we have particular resonances, as I do with the Lakota for that reason. So we look and see the places where we're acting like something doesn't matter, our indifference doesn't matter, our letting something go doesn't matter, we don't have to be responsible for our consciousness, it doesn't matter. That's the reclaiming of darkness, that, the from it doesn't matter.
That did people.
Yes, I spoke of that when I talked about being cut off from one's humanity and one's heart, that which cuts one off from one's own humanity is the force that is anti-life. Humanity is built into the feeling and knowledge of unity, which breeds love and caring for all of life. That which interferes with the experience of your own humanity or that others are human is the energy of opposition to life. But it manifests as an energy of opposition to your own heart, so that it no longer feels wrong to do something that's opposed to life. So the same energy that operates to create indifference operates to create atrocities. It operates to permit a person to do that which their inner being would never sanction, because your inner being recognizes the unity of life. So I want to close with this understanding that I have from the elders again, the Lakota elders that I met, which is that what's needed is not our participating as if we were Lakota. We don't have to start drumming. We can if one feels called to it, but we don't have to adopt the customs or the language of the Lakota. We have to carry them in our consciousness as part of us. They want very much, all the indigenous tribes want very much to maintain their own culture. And so we don't have to adopt a culture, we just need to support its existence. We just need to know that it exists and that it's beautiful and that we want to help it exist. So in this period of time, between now and the beginning of June, which is when I'll be going to South Dakota, I believe, this is where we need to direct at least some of our attention to trying to hold on to that which we're carrying with us, whatever that might mean. And I don't know what it will mean for each of you, but I know that I have been called, I've been sent, I'm being sent to go to the sacred sites in order to help heal the earth. And also to create hope for the people. I know that. So I invite anybody who wishes to come with me. And there is an addendum to this, which I won't talk about now, but I've been also directed to go to Sedona for the same purpose, to go to the sacred sites of Sedona and pray and meditate there as well. There are different tribes there, and there are quite a few of them in the Sedona area. But the sites have also there been violated too. And so whoever comes can come for part of that trip or can come for the whole trip and go to Sedona as well. I would like to say a closing prayer. We pray for the recognition of the one life in our life. We pray for the overcoming of all fear that keeps us separate and all that which we call presently self-centeredness or selfishness or ego. We pray that that which has been necessary in the past for our own learning about physicality can be surrendered to the greater truth of unity. We pray, especially at this time, that we can carry the light of love and unity in the presence of darkness that seeks to exaggerate and expand conflict and separation. And we pray that we may do this in peace, not in war, not in anger, not in condemnation, not in separating ourselves from anyone, but in peace, that we may stand for light and stand for love and become a representative of light. May this be our calling, each of us here, and may it be the calling of all in this world, to stand for the truth of unity, love, and light. Amen.